AM Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. It's been an hour since E. Jean Carroll left a New York City courthouse. Carroll didn't say anything, but she was clearly elated after a jury found Donald Trump defamed her and awarded her more than $88 million in damages. CBS's Graham Cates on her attorney strategy.
Their pitch to the jury was, choose a number that will make him stop saying defamatory things. And now we all have to sit back and see, will he stop? And the thing that's really complicated about that is he's running for president. So along the way, people are going to ask him about the sexual abuse finding, about the two defamation findings, about the combined $88.3 million across the two trials.
Loyola law professor Lori Levinson says Trump didn't do himself any favors.
Every time he said something disrespectful about her or about the court, that seemed to fit into the jury's calculus to come back with an even bigger monetary verdict against Trump.
It took the jury less than 3 hours to come up with that verdict. Trump says he will appeal. The Republican National Committee has withdrawn a resolution to declare Trump the presumptive presidential nominee. CBS's Finn Gomez.
Because of some of the backlash, because of some of the reaction internally, they decided it was best to go forward with their overall strategy to defeat his last remaining contender, Nikki Haley, at the ballot box.
3 weeks after a door plug blew out and grounded Boeing 737 MAX 9s, the jets are going back into service with an Alaska Airlines flight due to leave Seattle for San Diego shortly. Aviation analyst Jeff Wise says Boeing has to be held accountable.
The hard part about making a plane like this isn't designing it, although that's certainly a feat. It's putting all of these pieces together safely, all the human beings, all the systems that have to come together in the right way, in the right order, without any goof-ups. That's clearly what hasn't happened here.
The UN's highest court says Israel has to prevent genocide in Gaza. CBS's Christina Ruffini.
This ruling is critical only in the court of public opinion, and that it's going to make it harder for Israel to continue to justify this kind of bombardment of Gaza when you're having allies, nations, and now this international body associated with the UN say that they're going too far and they need to do more to protect civilians.
The U.S. is hoping for another hostage release deal. National Security spokesman John Kirby.
We're doing everything we can to bring these moms and dads, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters back home to their families. Our thoughts remain with them, and of course their loved ones, as well as all the innocent Palestinians.
On Wall Street, the Dow gained 60, the Nasdaq lost 55. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A record number of people in Wisconsin are enrolled in health insurance on healthcare.gov, more than 266,000, according to the Department of Health Services. That's a 20% increase from the previous open enrollment period. Open enrollment is over, but some people can enroll year-round. A bill to ban abortion in Wisconsin after 14 weeks of pregnancy has passed the state assembly, Republican Representative Karen Hurd.
I am so in favor of women's rights and women to make whatever health decisions they want. I want everybody to make their own health decision. But here's the conundrum in this. There's another life involved.
10 Republicans voted against the referendum. Governor Evers says he'd veto any effort to make abortion access more restrictive. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks sending two to the All-Star Game. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee Bucks with two players named starters in the NBA All-Star Game. Giannis along with Damian Lillard. LeBron James named for the 20th time. The most in a career, surpassing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The Bucks have worked out a deal through 2027 for Doc Rivers as the new head coach worth $40 million. General manager John Horst and how he told the players they had fired Adrian Griffin as head coach.
It's like the pace of these things are fast, and so you do the best you can to communicate to folks real time so they can hear it from you, whether it's text message, phone calls. Maybe you see him in person.
Men's college basketball, Badgers host Michigan State at the Kohl Center. Seton Hall will play at Marquette tomorrow at noon. NFL, more head coaching jobs filled. The Titans introducing Brian Callahan. The Carolina Panthers hiring the Buccaneers offensive coordinator, Dave Canales. After two interviews with Bill Belichick, the Falcons hired Rams defensive coordinator, Raheem Morris. It's his second head coaching job, the last with Tampa Bay in 2011. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Drizzle, light rain, and cloudy with foggy areas tonight and a low in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a high in the upper 30s. And more clouds around on Sunday, some foggy areas and mid-30s. Sunshine Monday, high approaching 40. A chance of rain and snow showers Monday night. It's 32 degrees.
More news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting the cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadigi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, and Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we got State Senator Mary Kunish. It's our fun, relaxing Friday conversation, and then ending the show with Wendy with her sacred animal portion of the show. My wife, Wendy Pilot, honey G, he, honey, cares for them, will be ending the show with us. And so it'd be great. Hey, welcome, Senator Mary Kunish, and always so great to have you on.
Oh, mitake ape, everybody. Glad to be here on this beautiful Friday.
Hey, so before we get into what you want to talk about, I just want to touch lightly on this. Tonight, Friday night, here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis, the Parkway Theater presents Indian Way Comedy. And, you know, we had Trish Cook on, who's going to be on, but it's hosted by Deanna Ray Standing Cloud. We have John Roberts and Donovan Archibald, and tickets that starts at 7, and the tickets are going pretty quick. And I know the last few times we've had this, Haley, it's sold out.
Right. Yeah, it should be a really great show, and I'm excited to hear all about it.
Right on. And State Senator, it's just great that we're still here and we're still doing stuff like this, and having a comedy sellout like this is just awesome.
Well, I mean, we always need good comedy. We always need a good opportunity for some relief and a good hearty laugh and smiling faces all around us. So from what I understand, Trish is extremely entertaining. And so I hope that all of you that get out there tonight and get to see her and participate in the crowd just have a really, you know, raucous laughing time and enjoy yourselves very, very well.
Right on, right on. Hey, so let's swing into this. You know, there's some stuff that's going on that we'd love to talk to you about, and that one is wild rice. What's going on with the wild rice?
Well, you know, wild rice now for decades and decades has really been under threat for different reasons, whether it's cultivation of the rice outside of Minnesota, and then recently in the last decade or two, the cultivation of wild rice here in Minnesota, especially near some of our natural rice beds. And, you know, Manoman rice is the sacred food of our Anishinaabe Ojibwe relatives. It's the state grain for Minnesota, and it's a superfood, right? It grows on the water. If we think of the sacredness of the wild rice, there was a premonition by an ancient relative that lived out east, the original Ojibwe Chippewa, and he had a vision that said, you need to move west until you find where the food grows on the waters. Mm-hmm. And when you get there, you'll know, and that's where you stop. And of course, our Dakota relatives were here, and they kind of moved over and made space for them. And it's become, you know, not just a sacred object, but it is also incredibly nourishing for our communities. As when we think back historically on the, and I'm just going to say, a crap food that this government sent our people, at least they had Manoman to nourish their mind, bodies, and soul, let's say. So there's, you know, always been concern around any kind of efforts to or any threats to wild rice, especially here in Minnesota. And last year we had some legislation. There's a research program up north in Minnesota through the University of Minnesota. And they work with some entities that cultivate rice up there. The tribes that you know, still have the natural grain, are concerned about that could affect their grain down the road, the cultivated rice, because, you know, birds and animals come and eat that rice, they wander around, they drop stuff, and mm-hmm. the next thing you know, that cultivated rice has either changed the original authentic wild rice, or it's taken over. I mean, there's just not a lot of... there's just a lot of concern about preserving it in its natural state. So we at the legislature asked for a report, and the report came out. It's it is the product of an extensive conversations that in the end provided recommendations on the future of wild rice breeding programs here in Minnesota. And from what I understand, I wasn't in on these discussions. And to quote unquote, revealed that profound cultural, economic, and environmental significance of wild rice, reinforcing the need for careful consideration and action is needed. And they had some key findings that I thought was really interesting. All of the parties involved really stressed biodiversity preservation and the necessity of preserving wild rice's genetic diversity, especially when we look at the threats climate change. And I mean, look it up here in Minnesota. Do you know that my crocuses are about 3 inches out of the ground? The leaf is? That doesn't happen until when? April?
May.
Yeah. Anyways. So they also wanted consideration around increased yields, because we know this is a strong economic force for our tribes up north. They want to point out the cultural sensitivity, especially of any breeding program, and how important it is that tribal involvement and respect for those traditional practices and the cultural viewpoints are stressed. Along with a cultural aware approach to it. And then they talk about the market demand, and there's a growing market for it, and that cultivated wild rice producers view the breeding program as sustainable means to meet those demands. But the tribes themselves are very, very concerned, as I mentioned. And so one of the things that they also put in the report is the need for persistent issues and communication with the tribes. And the tribes expressed concerns, really strong concerns, about inadequate inclusion in decision-making processes the breeding programs that have popped up, and the lack of representation in those discussions about wild rice.
Yeah, there needs to be a protection on this. Like you said, I know nationally this is a thing too, that other states are dealing with this. And if you go on Amazon, you can find Minnesota wild rice. And that's not done by the tribes or anything, and there's right. no label. So it's an approachment on a sovereignty, I do believe.
I think a lot of people feel like that. And so the recommendations, they had four of them that came out of this report. They suggest that we increase funding for environmental stewardship and conservation, and to prioritize wild rice conservation and preservation mm-hmm. efforts, emphasizing the protection of natural stands of wild rice and those unique genetic diversity. Because you know this, but not everybody knows this, all of our different areas have their own unique
colors, their own unique
rice, and it tastes different, it looks different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. We'll talk a little bit more about that in this next segment, and also the political season that's coming up. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Life can be hard. Sometimes it feels like there's no answers, like there's no way out. Hennepin County's COPE Mobile Crisis Response is here to listen and help you find a way through whatever is going on in your life. Call 612-596-1223 for no-cost crisis support anytime, anywhere in Hennepin County. That number is 612-596-1223. Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Howl!
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
I am awake. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're talking about what's happening up in the deep north, which we'd like to call it here in the Twin Cities, when there's a wild rice I don't know. I just say appropriation, but you can correct me here. It's pretty interesting, too, that these things that we hold sacred become commercialized and McDonaldized, I guess, is one of the ways to put it. But welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, there's just a few more things I wanted to share with you, the recommendations from that report that we received. So we talked about funding environmental stewardship and conservation, but also really the increase in the necessity for effective communication with the tribes, not just an email or a letter that's being sent, but, you know, really meaningful dialogue, especially around wild rice conservation, cultivation, and breeding programs, and not just invite them in, listen to them, but really take their input and their insights and their decisions should weigh, you know, probably the most when making any kind of decisions. There needs to be strong agreement on anything if they're going to go forward this and not just say, oh, we consulted with the tribes, but then we decided this, because that's how things have happened for way too long. And then they're also suggesting that we temporarily suspend breeding activities. So they feel that more analysis needs to be conducted, and it needs to be conducted with tribal consent and collaboration. It should include a much more robust and definitive research system around genetic drift and impact analysis, because there are genetically modified rice up north. Yeah. And as I was saying, you know, that genetic drift, waterways connect in all different ways. And we need a better understanding of that genetic drift and an impact analysis so that we can make really informed economic, health, cultural, and other kind of considerations. And then there needs to be a lot more education around wild rice and cultivated wild rice, you know, the differences between them, because not all wild rice is the same. And as I was mentioning before we went on break, you know, even the different tribes will argue that their rice is better, and it looks different, it tastes different, it cooks differently. Right. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand that. And there's a huge difference between hand harvested natural stand rice, and then the culturally, you know, the genetically adapted ones and the commercial cultivated varieties. And, you know, it's not just the food itself or the economic impact, but it's around the cultural significance and the heritage of Minnesota's tribes and their relationship to the rice. And they absolutely should be part of the conversation when it comes to marketing, business competition. California, I think, also is the largest producer of wild rice, but of course that's not natural. Mm-hmm. And so people don't know the difference between what is naturally harvested rice and what's genetically adapted. So I'm looking forward to learning more about this and hearing more about this. I'm on the Ag Committee in the Minnesota Senate. So I'll be asking our chair, Chair Putnam, to have a hearing on this. We all need to learn more about it and put in those guardrails, the safety nets, for our, you know, this sacred grain of ours.
Oh, absolutely. And I just have to, I know we want to move on here, but one of the things I'd like to say too is a great example, Mary, is our corn. Things like that we're very careful about our seeds and our corn and not get, and I like that genetic drift term, you know, we're very careful on planting our corn from way back and not this yellow stuff that's all over the place that has no nutrition value and is fed to pigs and hogs and whatever. But hey, great report. We got to stay vigilant and stay on top of this and let our listeners know, because this is serious stuff. Well, we've been talking all week, and I think State Senator will be talking like for the next 10 months for sure about how we can engage and make things happen and keep the state blue. Let's talk about some of that procedures and things that our listeners can do to help all around Turtle Island, but here in Minnesota too.
So we had those primaries in New Hampshire and Iowa, and I think we've all heard the results of them. Biden winning in New Hampshire, and his name wasn't even on the ballot. He didn't have his name on the ballot in protest because it had been decided that South Carolina, I think it's, or is it North Carolina? One of them would be the next site and they went ahead and did theirs anyway. But yeah, just a reminder that this is an election year, 2024. And as usual, it's this is a make or break election year, especially in the White House. And here in Minnesota, our senators are not getting reelected. We have a 4-year term, so we have until 2026 to serve. But our House members and our other governmental agencies or offices will be up for re-election in November. And so I really would encourage everybody to learn more about our election process and absolutely become involved. We just had that presidential primary on this week. But in February, there's another presidential primary day here in Minnesota. That's February 13th. And you can go online to the Secretary of State's office and register in advance for that. And then our presidential primary day, and I mean by our, I mean Minnesota, is going to be in March. Mm. And that is, of course, going to be a really important day, like every year it really is. If we have the former president at the helm again, I just don't even know what we'll look like in 4 years. So,
right.
And then starting in June, at the end of June through mid-August, you can vote in person or mail for those primary elections. So we have congresspersons, a lot of different offices are up for election. And then come July 23rd, you can begin to register for the election day primary. And that primary day for elections is August 13th. And then, of course, we have election day on November 4th, but you can begin voting by September 20th. And you can register early starting October 15th. So we'll keep you posted, but we have the U.S. president, U.S. senators, U.S. representatives. Those are the ones out in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And then we have our state representatives and our judicial seats are open. And then many of our municipalities have city offices, school boards, township offices. And there's, I'm sure we will have a few ballot questions on our ballot. And by that, I mean, these are things that might be like a constitutional amendment to our Minnesota Constitution. For example, the ERA, Equal Rights Amendment. And I have been working for 8 years on getting a statement of equal rights in our state constitution. And I passed it off the House in 2019. I passed it off the Senate just last year. This year, the House will need to vote it off. And then once that happens, we will put that on the ballot in November for Minnesotans to decide, should we have this equal rights statement in our state constitution? And polls show overwhelmingly Minnesotans say yes.
Yes, 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 yes. So one of the questions Haley had sometime this week, I do listen to your questions, Haley. And do you remember it was about voting? Your question was about voting early?
Yes. So people can vote early, I think is what you said, Mary. When was the date again?
Yep. You can begin, people can start registering in advance, so you can get out there and register to vote starting October 15th, and then starting September 20th through November 4th, so right up to Election Day, you can vote by mail or in person. And then, of course, Election Day is also very, very important.
Absolutely.
Right. And I don't know, this year, a lot of times I'd like to, depending if I'm in town, but for sure, I like to go in there and vote and see how many people are voting and feel like I'm going to get my sticker. But also in years past, too, Wendy and I have voted early, too, down on Plato in St. Paul. So there's many ways, and I'm sure we'll keep talking about it. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish and my Jujunk Haley Cherry. We'll be right back after this short break, Haley. Stay with us.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the High School Musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic, or NAC, in Minneapolis.
Yeah, what's the serving tradition? How does that go? What do you usually say? It's a good
honoring tagline. Health and tradition. I tried to switch it up, but
oh, I'm sorry. You should. Sorry, Haley's doing her job, and I'm questioning it. Sorry, Haley. All right, cool. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and again with Haley Cherry, the producer here of Native Roots Radio, and we're talking about. Well, I'd like to talk about the not only importance, but also how I kind of see it, State Senator, is that. We talk about this, and we've been talking about this all week with, we had Ruth Buffalo on and Heather this week, and we were talking about firing up the Sunday Symposium again, too, which really was a great check-in for all our Native leaders and Native people across Turtle Island, and that you were on every week for months and months, and it just was a really good feeling to see how people were doing across Turtle Island. But, you know, one of the things that we're hearing now is that people are afraid of what could possibly be another Trump presidency. And I guess what I want to say is that when we did the Sunday symposiums, we outnumber them, and we need to stay mm-hmm. vigilant, and we need to, if you need to do anything, you need to help people register and give people a ride and all those things that during voting and that, organizations like Make Voting a Tradition and all these groups across Turtle Island that really help join up and help with them.
Yeah, it is so important in Indian country that we all make voting a tradition.
Yeah.
Absolutely. For generations, voting was not even allowed for our Indigenous people here in Minnesota. They were denied it. My grandpa couldn't vote, and his, you know, white wife could go to the polls and vote and participate in that way. And I remember, you know, him talking about how important it was and what a responsibility and what an honor it is to have that right to vote. There's so much at stake with these elections when it comes to Indian country. There are so many federal dollars that were promised and are in the Constitution and in the treaties that are owed to the tribes that either we're not accessing or we don't understand how to pull those down through different government entities. But also education, healthcare, all of those things, so much of that comes from our federal government. And it's absolutely vital that the leaders at the federal level, as well as at the state level, are allowing and promoting access to those dollars and getting those dollars out to where they belong. And as I said, this has not happened forever. And we haven't had the voting block to make the difference or to put the right people who are going to look out for our best interests in office and who will fight for us. So I really challenge everyone to look at who represents you and are they doing their very best to represent us in the best way in whatever level of election that you are, whether it's a school board or city council or dog catcher or, you know, your state rep or your federal representatives, and especially our president, because we saw what was going on when Trump was president. He opened up sacred lands and
right away
withheld so much money and really bottlenecked a lot of policy. And we're making really great strides. And I just don't want to see that go back to where it was.
Right. And boy, we need to remind people because we have a short attention span. We also have people that are working two jobs that aren't staying on top of things like we are, because I guess I'm a political junkie. I didn't really think of that, but I think I am now. And just the things, listen to what Trump says, and you can believe what he's going to do and shut down things. And the first day going to be, I just want to say this, the second day he was in office, he bypassed Obama's Standing Rock thing and said, drill, baby, drill. And the second day of his office.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would imagine he has a long list of things he didn't get done that he wanted to last year or last time around. And he's gonna go full steam ahead again. Yeah. We saw the chaos in the people that he had working under him, and they came and went and came and went, and seats weren't, you know, positions weren't filled. It was just the efficiencies of government, which are always sort of questionable. I will admit, they got even worse. And this is not the time. Well, it's never the time to have that kind of confusion and poor leadership and lack of vision for our country, especially when we are really in a global crisis with what's going on in the Middle East, with China, at Taiwan. I mean, it could very easily any day Ukraine become another world war.
Right. With what's happening in the Black Sea and Japan. Mm-hmm. In China, yeah, definitely. And we don't know what he now knows, kind of how to rig the system even more, meaning Trump. And we don't know what he has up his sleeve. We only know all the bad things that he's talking about that he's going to do. And you can believe it. He's going to, you know, listen to him. And so that's why I think it's important to have you on and other people on our show just to remind us, because we went through every day of crazy stuff. I almost said a swear word, but every day of crazy stuff. And now we have Biden in there and it seems more relaxed, but there was every day we were scratching our head. And there was a report after 4 years, he had 50,000 lies reported. 50.
Not a day? 50,
no, 50,000 during his presidency. And it's like, who's in second place? I mean, what? I just can't. So we have to remind, especially our people that are working all the time and not paying attention as much as we are, that don't listen to the Republicans when they come to a thing about an infrastructure and say they voted for it because they didn't. You know, there's all these things that they like to take credit for, but they were fighting against tooth and nail. And and you experience that firsthand.
Yeah, that happens way too often, you know, a lot of resistance. And I'm not saying that as a Democrat, I didn't resist Republican legislation, but it wasn't good legislation. At the end of the day, it wasn't. And I firmly believe that when I vote for something, for a piece of legislation, that it has the power of good and it has the best interest of all of Minnesota's constituents in it. There are going to be people that don't agree with it, that don't like it. But you know, I would never try to take credit for something that I didn't do. And I think it's so important that when higher ups are saying, oh, I did this or we did this, you know, here in Minnesota or the other, I would really go back and find out which legislator carried that bill, which right. legislator fought for, you know, all of those health rights and reproductive rights and transportation money and all of that, because it's the legislators that are doing that boots on the ground work from the minute that bill gets into their head to, you know, creating that bill, working that bill through the legislature, and then fighting for it in our committees and on the floor. You know, we can send it to the governor to have him sign it, but mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's those legislators at the state level that are yep. working their hardest to get this work done. And any of you too can become a state legislator. So consider that as well, not just voting, but how you can serve your community and your state.
You know, and that reminds me, as you were talking too, with another, all the great work that the legislature and the governor have done this past session, a lot of it could be wiped out federally. I mean, they're talking about a federal restriction of women's rights. Mm-hmm. And that's for real. We got yeah. these people that don't want you to have pictures up of, you know, something they don't agree with, but then they're ramming Christianity down our throats, and that abortion's bad and you're bad and you're going to hell. And it's just like, it's not an even playing field when you listen to these guys.
Yeah. You know, I even worry that ICWA would come back up on right. on the docket after we fought so hard for that. And we're still, you know, we passed our own Minnesota Indian Family Preservation we updated yeah. it last year yeah. and we bolstered it just with that, because of that threat. And then this summer, that incredible work group led by Rebecca McConkie Green went through it again and are working to continue to update all of that. But there are states that don't have that in place. And I really, really, really worry about Indian child welfare across our country should, you know, somebody else get into that presidency and the judges and the judicial branch that they create.
Well, and that's another good point too. We're going to have a few Supreme Court judges coming up too, I do believe, in the next cycle too. So that's another thing. What happened the last time, you know, they wouldn't let Obama pick his judge because it was a year before he was ending his presidency, but yet Trump was trying to, you know, the last weeks of his presidency, ram through a Supreme Court member. So again, double-edged sword here.
Yeah.
Well, State Senator, thank you so much. Wow, what a lot of, as always, what a lot of great information. That's keep engaged. That's keep working in a good way, and things will happen in a good way. Thank you so much for being on, as always.
Yes, absolutely. Take care, everybody.
All right. Hey, that was State Senator Mary Kunish, and this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. And up next, Wendy with our sacred animal section.
Stay with us.
Good one. Oh, wow.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Become a teacher and ignite change. Join the St. Paul Urban Residency Program to become a teacher in just 15 months. You can earn your master's degree and teaching license from the University of St. Thomas while earning a $30,000 stipend, single health care, and dental benefits. As an added bonus, next year's cohort, all residents will receive $20,000 towards their tuition. Apply now. Applications due February 28, 2024. Visit spps.org/sutr.
Winter is here, and there's a good chance your home isn't being heated efficiently. and it's likely because of air sealing and insulation problems. Inadequate attic insulation is the leading contributor to high energy bills, cold rooms, and ice damps. Great news, the energy-efficient pros at Snap Construction can fix it all. Stop the heat from leaking out and save. Call 612-333-SNAP or visit snapconstruction.com for your free infrared energy inspection. Install with Snap Construction and qualify for over $750 in rebates and incentives. State and city programs are now offering 0% financing for qualifying insulation upgrades. So call Snap Construction for your free insulation energy consultation and start saving on your energy bill. Call 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP. Or visit snapconstruction.com. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed insulation and exterior contractor in the metro area.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Howl! Hey, it's Friday, which means we have a brand new Sacred Animals Fun Fact Friday segment from Humane Policy Leader Wendy Pilot. Take it away, Wendy.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Daga Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. You know, I've talked about puppy mills over and over again on this show, and I still come across people who don't know what they are. And I have to confess, Robert and I, we didn't know what these were either 24 years ago. We had no idea what a puppy mill was. Robert and I walked into a pet store one day getting cat food, and we purchased two little Chihuahua puppies. And after we purchased those puppies, people educated us, some in nice ways and some not so nice ways, about what a puppy mill is. So after I learned what a puppy mill is, first of all, I felt really bad about buying these two Chihuahua puppies when I knew for a fact where the parents came from. You know, I felt terrible. But I really just want to talk about it again, even if there's one or two people out there who've never heard about puppy mills, to learn more about them. And maybe you could even help another person learn about them. So I always say adopt, don't shop. And this is the reason why. So very quickly, puppy mill is a breeding facility that can have 1 to 1,000 or more dogs. They're kept in cages. They're not socialized. They don't really see the vet. And they're breeded twice a year, which is their breeding cycle. And they're not socialized, and they just spend their whole life in a cage. And the puppies are sent to pet stores. Now, I came across a documentary that is free and you can watch on YouTube. It's called Dog by Dog. Dog by Dog. The Horrible Reality of American Puppy Mills. And it was originally on Netflix, but now you could watch the full documentary. I think it's about an hour and 20 minutes, and it's on YouTube, and it's really so informative. There's undercover video. There's a lot of experts talking, a lot of people who just care on the documentary. I really recommend it for everyone to watch, and it really brings awareness about the really big problem here in the United States that we have with puppy mills. You know, a lot of these dogs that you purchase at a pet store, they come from these horrible places. They have health conditions, congenital abnormalities. They have worms. They might have parvo. They have other sicknesses and viruses. And then people buy these dogs, and then they're stuck with really, really high vet bills, and a lot of the dogs end up in shelters. So it's a horrible circle of what happens. There are few in between reputable breeders. A reputable breeder will not sell their puppies to a pet store. A reputable breeder wants to know where their puppies are going. And the best of the best breeders will make the person who's buying the dog sign a contract and saying, if there's any reason why you don't want my dog anymore, my puppy, I do not want the dog to end up in a shelter. I want the dog back. So you're going to find, it's really, really hard to find. You know, a reputable breeder, you're able to go in there and see the mom dog, the father dog. They're not living in cages. They're living in the house. They're not being bred every cycle, twice a year, only once a year. But people who breed dogs are really into it for the money, right? They're into it for the money, and that's how they make their living. So why not breed a dog twice a year if you can? It's hard on the dog. It's hard on the body, you know. Our little Gracie, a little white Maltese, she's passed on, but she was one of those breeder dogs in a puppy mill, and she was kept in a cage in an indoor facility in Iowa, and she never saw the light of day. When we first got her, I remember her sitting out in the backyard, like gazing at the sky. I've never seen a dog do that in my whole entire life, gazing at the sky. Like, what dog does that, right? There's also another site that I want to tell you about. And the site is called Bailing Out Benji.com. So bailingoutbenji.com. And I love this website. So you could go on there and you could click on whatever state you want in the United States. And they have a map of where each puppy mill is. And they have a key to, you could find out how many dogs are in each puppy mill in that state. So I have Minnesota up right now, Minnesota puppy mills, and here, let me just bring this up. It just take me a second, and it'll say they have a key. Like the green dot will tell you it's 0 to 49 dogs. The red dot is 50 to 149. The blue dot is 150 to 249 dogs, and so on and so forth. And then the pink dot is 1,000+ dogs in a puppy mill. Now, the most concentrated amount of puppy mills in Minnesota is in Winona. A lot of them are smaller, on the smaller side. They have up to 49 dogs each, but then they have another two more puppy mills that have between 50 and 149 dogs. That's quite a few dogs to have and to take care of. And, you know, when, just like a factory farm, when you have chickens or pigs or cows and they're kept in conditions where they're close together, it's a breeding ground for bacteria and illnesses and sicknesses, and it's just terrible. So I'm just going to go through here a little bit. Let's see here. So we are in, Hennepin County, Wright County, Carver, Scott, Dakota. I don't see any puppy mills there. Rice County does. They have quite a few. And they have pet stores that sell puppies, so we want to get rid of those as well. Cass Lake, we have Polk up north, Becker, they all have puppy mills. Redwood, Cottonwood, Murray, Nobes, Jackson. You could go on this list and find out and see how many dogs. There's also cat breeders too. Stearns County has cat breeders. It's the same type of operation, except there's cats, and the cats and kittens are sold to pet stores, and you could buy them online and so forth and so on. So I just want everyone to get have awareness that there are puppy mills. There's many, many, many in the United States, and you could Google it by going on bailingoutbenji.com. And also check out that documentary, Dog by Dog, The Horrible Reality of American Puppy Mills, and you could find that on YouTube. Hope everybody has a great weekend, and thanks. Thank you very much, Haley. Thank you, Robert. Back to you.
Thanks, Wendy.
All right. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier now.
Thank you.
The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News special report. The defamation case against Donald Trump is over. For now, CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
A New York jury took just a short time reaching its decision in the civil defamation case against former President Donald Trump, brought by writer E. Jean Carroll. The nine-person jury awarded Carroll $83.3 million in damages.
And we just said over for now because Trump quickly announced that he'll appeal the verdict. And then there's the campaign. Correspondent Scott McFarlane.
The very moment this verdict was announced, Donald Trump's campaign team sent out a press release criticizing Nikki Haley about her border policy.
The University of Virginia's Larry Sabato.
We all know that the reaction among his Trump base will be to rally round him and be even more supportive and to call this suppression, voter suppression, an attempt to move his followers elsewhere.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Peter King.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen in Milwaukee Friday to talk about the economy, which is defying expectations. New data from the Commerce Department shows GDP shot up 3.3% from October to December.
We have an economy that has been growing at a good, healthy pace. I see no reason why that can't continue. I think 2024 is going to be a very good economic year.
Yellen speaking with ABC News. The State Department of Natural Resources is warning people to be safe on the ice as warm temperatures and rain weaken the ice. While Wisconsin saw bitter cold quickly freeze lakes earlier this month, temperatures around the state have been above freezing all last week. The DNR says to wear proper clothing like a life jacket and carry a stick or rod with you to check the ice before you step foot on it. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Even Republicans know what they don't like. Vivek.
As of this moment, we are going to suspend this presidential campaign.
Oh, this is like the Captain Kirk of goodbye speeches. I must leave the race
there
now.
Is no path to victory.
There is no path for
the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Drizzle, light rain, and cloudy with foggy areas tonight and a low in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a high in the upper 30s. And more clouds around on Sunday, some foggy areas and mid-30s. Sunshine Monday, high approaching 40. A chance of rain and snow showers Monday night. It's the 32 Todd degrees. Show.
Luke Mathers, it's time for Tuesday Tangents with Lukester.
Everybody announced yesterday, schools are closed tomorrow. I feel like a boomer almost here, Todd, where I'm like, back in my day, we never got a snow day in advance.
I remember sitting patiently, like cross-legged in front of the television set, just waiting for the little ticker to scroll by. And if you missed it alphabetically, you had to sit there even longer.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Shaw, WAUK. The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn, thanks for joining us. As an attorney who's been in a lot of courtrooms, Trump may insist on giving part of his closing oral arguments on this case. I'm not sure if you ever saw the ABC series Boston Legal with William Shatner as Denny Crane. We're approaching Denny Crane territory here.
It's flat out crazy. It's like taking out your own appendix with a Bowie knife and you have no anesthesia. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with Leah Hale, a documentary producer of The Electric Indian, the story of our friend, late great friend, Henry Boucher. And also, it'll be on the TPT on March 26th. So check your local listings. And there's a couple other showings we'll ask about. But, you know, in between the commercial break, Haley came up with a couple great questions. And I don't know if you know this about me, but for 30 years, I taught film and video in the high school. And would love to know how you got your start and what got you into, of course, it's very traditional that we tell stories, but how you got into film and documentary work.
Sure. So I grew up in the city of Pico Rivera, that is near East Los Angeles. So, you know, I grew up as a young Native youth in the Native community in the Los Angeles area, which is probably, I think, home to the largest.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.